This is Will's Band of the Week for November 13th, 2011. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett.
Hello.
And Barrett's in cyberspace again, but he's in town, but he's just...
Yeah, I'm in Madison, but my wife is not, so I had to stay home with my son. He's upstairs.
And you just told me before we started recording that he's listening to Spotify.
Yep. Yeah, we're just sitting around and... He's doing this little project where he's making a map of the United States with this clay that he made. And we're listening to Jim Gaffigan, who's a comedian. If you don't recognize the name, you probably see him on Comedy Central and stuff. And it's age-appropriate and legitimately funny. G-rated.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So,
yeah.
I'm going to have to look him up. So is there some kind of, like, what kind of thing from him do they have on Spotify?
They have entire albums. Like, so he's got two or three.
That's cool.
So, yeah, he'll just talk about camping, you know, or bacon, just kind of go off on different things. So
everyday stuff.
The other noise is that I'm making a drink here.
Yeah, it sounds like
to take care of this in the pre-production meeting.
This sounds like like a real kitchen happening or something.
Yeah,
it sounds like you're making some kind of fancy thing.
Yep.
So even if you're not,
it's called a Sazerac. Did you ever hear one of those?
No.
It's got rye and bitters, and you can use absinthe if you have it. But any what is that flavor? I can't think. Like an anise flavored liqueur will be fine. Yeah.
So
mix
this
it
could,
all up and get yourself a nice little drink.
This could go on the recipe feature of the podcast that we haven't used for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe
I'll
you need
definitely
to
put that up there.
Post this one. Yeah. So I was mentioning also before we went on the air that the jingle that Skype played when you called in reminded me of a song. So why don't we see if the listeners can recognize it, okay? This is not the Skype jingle. This is the song. This is kind of cool because it's the music plus Barrett's kitchen sounds. Kind of adds a cool effect.
Just about done.
So that's from an indie rock classic. That album is an indie rock classic, I think. The Postal Service.
Yeah.
It was.
Does anybody listen to that anymore, though?
Well, maybe not anymore, but this is from... Oh, let's see.
Like
2002 is what iTunes is telling me, yes. So that was Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie, and then another guy who must be the mastermind behind the synthesizers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm remembering right, he had a band called something like Dintel or something like that, right? Does that sound
right?
Well,
I know there's a band called that. I didn't know that it was...
I think it's a guy from...
Yeah,
that guy or one of those guys, and Ben Gibbard.
Yeah.
And everybody kept saying, wondering if there was going to be another Postal Service album, but now it's been 9 years, so maybe not.
You got to say it's getting to be pretty unlikely at this point.
Yeah. Seems that way.
Yeah.
So, let's see. What do we got going on? Let's give the contact information. Do you know you can contact this podcast by good old-fashioned email at willsband@yahoo.com, or you can use the Twitter or Facebook, what do you call it? Twitter's called a feed. Facebook is called a page. And what else have we got? We've got iTunes. Just type in Will's Band of the Week into an iTunes search, and you'll find us, and you can subscribe there. And seems like I'm forgetting one other thing. Oh, just the webpage, right? Will's Band.
Yeah, the webpage.
Willsband.net. That's what it is.
I tend to just look at the Facebook and the Twitter.
You know,
I don't go to the web page as much, but then I did a little while ago, and I saw we had some new commenters.
We've had a couple more, so it's been great. So thanks, everybody, for your remarks. And they've been nice to us, so, you know, we'll be positive as long as the listeners stay positive. But once they turn negative, all bets are off.
Yeah.
You never know what could happen then.
Right. Then we'll turn on the fans.
Right.
But you know how they say, like, when one person sends in a compliment or whatever, or a complaint at a restaurant or anything, it represents X number of people that just wouldn't take the time to do it. Right?
Yeah.
So what would our multiplier be for this?
Oh,
I bet it's like 100.
Yeah, absolutely.
1 in 100. So if we have 5 commenters,
that really means 500 people are enjoying the podcast, right?
Maybe we shouldn't say stuff like that because people might be listening out there and just assuming that they're one of many thousands of listeners. Maybe we're bursting bubble.
Yeah, well, I think, we'll just keep that confidential. We have something between 5 and 500,000 listeners.
Somewhere in there.
Divulge. It's in the range of those numbers.
Right.
Yeah, so... Was there any music news this week? I think we Grant and I covered the death last week of the guy from Gwar, which is of course huge news.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, one of those guys that wears one of those monster outfits. You know, have you seen those Gwar guys? Yeah, one of those guys died.
Huh.
And
was he old? I can't imagine he was old.
I think he was in his 40s.
Yeah,
like 42 or something.
Was it a drug overdose?
I think it just said he died. like it said something to do. He was crossing a border, and it didn't say what border. And he died.
Crossing a border, maybe like I don't know.
Maybe they were going on their international tour.
Yeah.
And then we last week we talked about the celebrity breakups, the Gibbard and Deschanel breakup, and the Kim Gordon and Thurston Moore. So. Yeah, so there was kind of a lot of news last week, and now this week we're back to just kind of a regular old music week, right? But you've got a little bit of...
There's a rapper. Is it Heavy D?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I didn't even really know who that was. I think I may have heard of him.
It sounds familiar, but I wasn't really sure.
Yeah, some guy called Heavy D died, right? And he was wasn't very old either.
44, I think.
Yeah.
But I think he had probably had high cholesterol and stuff.
That's probably what it was.
Based on his nickname.
Right. Yeah. Heavy, it's a short for heavy LDL. That's what
right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. That's too bad.
So,
So I guess that was a death this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing is I went with Chris and another friend, you know, Nick.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep, and Nick's girlfriend and some other hangers-on and stuff.
People who wanted to...
And saw A.A. Bondi on Monday night.
Yeah, and you know, I'm vaguely remembering that when Chris and I saw him earlier, the last tour, I think that was a Monday night also.
Huh.
That's probably Madison gets shows on Monday nights, you know. They go to Chicago for the Saturday or whatever, and then they find their way up here.
Right.
Anyway, what did you think?
It was good. I kind of got into a conversation... And he's got this kind of weird with his work situation. And so my attention was a little bit divided. But, I'll just say that it was real solid and pretty faithful, rendition of the songs on the album. But I wasn't blown away or anything.
Yeah, you weren't. So maybe you just weren't like completely engaged.
Yeah, I wasn't totally engaged.
I think the new album's pretty good. We'll talk about it a little bit, but I think I was seriously considering going, but then it got to be the old guy who has to work the next morning. And since I had seen him on the last tour, and then my wife ended up getting back late to a meeting, so that kind of cemented it.
Right.
So from a meeting, so I. Took my humble place in my home and decided that at least I had seen A.A. Bondi once before. I think he's really pretty solid, but he's not going to, like, blow you away with excitement. He's definitely low-key.
Right.
And have you had a chance to listen to the new album much?
I have.
I think it's pretty solid. Have you listened to, I think this is third one, so have you listened to the others, and do you have an opinion on where this one fits in?
Where it fits in there. I still think I like his first one the best, and this one is maybe on a par with the second one.
Yeah, I think I would have a hard time ranking them, because I really like them all pretty much. Right. And they're all... I think I have to give them a little credit. They're all a little bit different, even though it's the same, general kind of thing. But there's enough little character differences. Like this one seems like it has a little more of a band sound.
Right.
And, why don't we just play something? The new album is called Believers. And did you have a pick?
I'm going to start off with the second song.
It's called Down.
I just know them by number, so...
Sorry. That was one I was thinking of, too. It's called Down in the Fire, Lost Sea. That's a good sound, I think.
Yeah,
that's a kind of classic AA Bondi, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would say so.
Kind of slow going, but a really nice melody, and
right.
It's good. Well, I think I'll jump ahead to track 5 called Surfer King. We'll be right back.
That's A.A. Bondi. The new album is called Believers.
There's a little part in there. There's a little part in there that sounds like a good guitar part at the end of the song, The Weight by the band. You know what I mean? That little do-do-do-do part.
Boy, I don't know that.
Also, like, Facts of My Tears. Has a little.
Did you say The Band?
Yeah, The Band.
Like The Band, like the last like Waltz the movie?
Yeah.
I never listened to The Band. I just knew about that movie, and I thought of them as like The Grateful Dead or something. Are they sort of like The Grateful Dead?
Not really. I mean, I find The Grateful Dead is unbelievably boring.
Yeah.
And, The Band has, actual cohesive songs that just last a few minutes long and are memorable and whatever. You'd probably recognize some of them.
I bet there are some.
They drove Old Dixie Down.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I know that one. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic, actually. I'm going to call it a classic.
It's a classic.
So, do you have another pick from A.A. Bondi? We should play one more, I think.
Well, why don't you... I'm on my phone, so I can't really... I guess I could look at the track listing, but...
I think there's one... there's one that's kind of... It's the longest track on the album, but you can get a decent enough idea. So, why don't we try that one? It's track 9. It's called Route 28... Believers, and there's a slash in there, so I think that means there's like a change of pace in the middle.
Yeah,
but we'll just play the first part of it. I think if I ever find myself driving across Texas on a highway, I might want to play that.
Yeah.
There's something about it. It has like a good flow to it.
Yeah, I agree. I can see that.
And this album
was at night.
Right. I was even thinking it could be during the day. It could be either one.
Maybe
you know?
During the day.
There's
maybe it's a contrast thing. Like, yeah, you're on like a sunny highway and you got that going. I don't know. I could sort of see it. Mm-hmm. So
how this, about twilight?
I think it would work for twilight too. How about sunrise? As long as we're on
sunrise.
See, it's like,
so I think what we're saying is it's kind of an any time of the day.
Yeah, I think this is what we're saying.
As long as you're in, I think it's a good driving music. And but yeah, I agree that Texas would be uniquely suited.
Yeah. I think he's from Alabama, isn't he? I know he's from the South.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there, I think we've talked about him before. So this means when you make multiple appearances on the podcast, it means you're a featured Will's Band of the Week artist.
Who are the others that we've done twice? Real Estate?
Well, yep. And we did Wilco. Yep.
A.A. Bondi. And there aren't many others, are there?
Not that I can think of. There might be one or two. There have been a couple we've, like, if they do an EP, we just mention them.
Right.
But, yeah. So, well, I can hear you pretty well, but your phone occasionally is kind of cutting out a little bit. I think your phone connection in Dallas was actually a little bit better than it is now.
They probably have better Wi-Fi there at the Fort.
Well, you were at the swanky hotel. Yeah, they probably had, like, some kind of super... You
know, super fi.
Probably like a gold-plated router or something.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know what? Let's transition then into the next musical thing, because I'm going to play something that we've played before. So, I'd like the listeners to do a little mental exercise at home, okay? So let's try this. I want everybody to picture the singer and maybe the guitar guy next to him in this song being like a great big guy with a big beard, okay? Maybe a couple of guys with big beards. Okay. And just picture that as you listen, okay?
All right, so, I'm going to play a line too, because I don't know what this is about.
Okay, so. Here we go. Okay,
now, I mean, so I was imagining that, and then I was like, okay, I got to figure out who this is. And then I figured that out, partly because it was one of the suggested listening things this week.
Uh-huh.
I listened to it a little bit.
All right, so that's should I tell them?
Yep, or okay. We could have them call in and with guesses.
Why don't we play a little bit of the band that I was trying to compare them to, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
So what do you think?
Nice.
Okay, you're listening to that's 38 Special you're listening to now, and we were just playing the new EP by Surfer Blood.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they brought the initial 38 Special reference to the podcast, right?
Because that one song sounded like it?
Yeah, they there were one or two from their first album that where we first got the 38 Special reference.
Yeah, one there's no way it's accidental. It just sounds, you know, it sounds like a 38 Special cover band.
I wonder if on that one song. Wonder if other people have ever told them that they sound like 38 Special.
Sure. Because remember, I think I picked the song, and then I asked you, what does it sound like? And you guessed 38
Special. Yeah, you and I both got it. Yeah.
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 So there's no way that we're that.
We can't be the only ones, right?
No.
Yeah. But we are kind of pioneers in the rock analysis world, I think. So yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. So
there aren't that many people that are as old as we are that remember 38 Special and also then listened to the Surfer album.
Right, right.
That's
so
a small little group.
So Surfer Blood had their first album, what, it was probably, you know, a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And now they've got this four-song EP called Tarot Classics. And I'm not sure why they waited this long and then just put out four songs. And like the song that I just played sounds a little bit nondescript, but when you listen to the whole four-song thing, it's pretty good. It's pretty decent. So another one of those sort of, I consider it a sort of transitional things where, you know, it makes you look forward to the next album.
Right.
You know, 38 Special references or not.
Right.
You could consider that a positive or a negative, right?
The 38 Special thing?
Yeah.
I think you got to look at it as only a positive.
Yeah, I think so too. Like, who else could do it? Who else could pull it off and still sound good?
Yeah, you've got to be really, really, you know, secure in your coolness.
Absolutely.
To do that and
yeah,
to know that people are going to accept it. I thought their first album was really good.
Yeah.
And it didn't make a whole lot of top 10 lists, as I recall.
Right.
Besides mine.
They're kind of still kind of under the radar, I think, where they a lot of people respect them, but they're not like, it's not like if they came to town, it would like sell out, probably wouldn't sell out at all. Right. It would be easy to get tickets and, you know, they'd be fun to see though. Well, why don't we play one more from the Surfer Blood EP? This one is called Miranda. Surfer Blood.
Yep. They've also got kind of a late 70s like American power
Yeah,
sort of sound to them.
There is a little bit of that too. Yeah, yeah, and they had. I think
you like that too.
Their album, their full album, had a little bit of that. Remember that kind of Vampire Weekend-ish kind of whatever you want to call that. Had a little bit of that too. So you know, they're kind of a band capable of a variety of styles.
Yeah.
Always coming back, of course, to owing that debt to 38 Special. Which
you know, it's funny. We used to talk about 38 Special a lot.
Yeah,
and newer listeners are probably don't realize that we throw out a funny 38 Special reference pretty much every week or two.
Yeah,
but then we kind of forgot about it for a while.
Right. It took Surfer Blood to put us back on.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that task. Yep. Okay. So, are you ready to delve into the history of rock and roll now?
Yeah.
You know, Barrett's always ready to delve into the history of rock and roll. You know, I can listen to the, you know, the flavor of the month that maybe people are going to forget about, you know, by next year. But Barrett will always have you grounded with something that's timeless, right?
I think this one is. I don't know. Did you get a chance? We're talking about the Capitol released the Smile, Beach Boys Smile sessions.
Right.
And this I don't is... know if, well, if you got a chance to listen to it or if you had any notions about it before you listened to any of it. Or
well, I'd read about it, and you can correct me with my limited knowledge here, but what I had read about it was that that they was this after their big smash hit album?
It was after Pet Sounds.
Right.
Pet Sounds was not a hit at all. It was like a big flop.
Okay, but it's now considered a masterpiece.
Right.
See, so I'm out of historical context here. But anyway, so they went in the studio to record this Smile album, and then apparently everybody thought there were some like great things going on with this this whole recording session, but so somehow the whole process fell apart and the whole album just never came out, right?
Yeah.
Isn't there a Brian Wilson Smile album from a few years ago?
Yeah, he did it, I think, in like 2004.
Okay, so is it the same songs that he had re-recorded then, or what is it?
Yeah,
okay,
pretty much. But it's not, I mean, with that, he had people working with him and stuff, and I'm sure were making a lot of decisions. And I think the thing was great, the thing he did in, what did I say, 2004? It's around there somewhere.
Yeah.
And but, you know, everything was re-recorded. And you're like, well, is this like what would have come out in 1967? You know, probably not. There's just no way to say. I mean, he's not capable of making big decisions about things. Brian Wilson isn't.
Yeah, and nothing ever sounds the same when it's re-recorded years later. I mean, I always think of like re-recording something 10 or 20 years later, and this is like was like almost 40, right?
40 years.
Holy crap, that's a long time.
I know.
So this came out.
Had all these tapes and stuff, and they didn't worry about, you know, really the running order or anything like that, because it was really undecided. I mean, there were just a bunch of sessions that he put together.
So this thing is huge. I couldn't believe it. Like, I read a couple of reviews saying that it was really good. So I got it on Spotify, and it says 139 tracks, 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a 5-disc set. Is that right? Mm-hmm. So it's and there are all these fragments of song. It's kind of fun to listen to them because it'll have like a, you know, an unfinished recording of a song, and then it has like the person who's talking into the mic, like to the musicians in the studio, right? Whether that's Brian Wilson, whoever it is, and he's saying, "Let's try this one again," or whatever.
Right? Yeah, yeah. I like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's something that it really helps to you know, kind of have bought into the whole thing before. You know, I mean, it's always been named as like the great lost album and you know, just put together by this mad genius that couldn't complete it and whatever.
Yeah.
But
it seems, you know, like it starts.
He was writing this when the other guys were on tour. So they got he was the bass player and one of the key vocalists, obviously.
And he didn't tour with them?
He didn't tour with them. I mean, he had like you know, he just got nervous. He was like, he had a kind of anxiety disorder. So he stopped touring with them a lot, like probably in 65.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then in later years, they would trot him out, put him behind the piano, and, you know, he was just fat wreck.
Wow.
This is kind of where he lost it all. So anyway, talked about enough. Maybe we can just start off by playing something.
Yeah, it seems like the beginning, the first part is like more of like what would have been the album, right? And
yeah.
Then it kind of delves into all this old, you know, random recording stuff. So where should we start with this?
Well, I would be pretty certain, it would seem that the first track on this would have been how they'd want to start the thing, because it's called Prayer, and it's kind of like a, I think it's a churchy sound to it. And he was calling this his teenage symphony to God, and like this thing here is like a way of kind of introducing the whole thing. So yeah, number one, you want to play that.
Okay, this is called Our Prayer. It's a minute five. I cut it off at 59 seconds so that Brian Wilson won't sue us.
Yep. There's just really kind of a little hum at the end. There you go. So that's all you missed.
Okay, there you go. You filled it in for the listeners. So I'm going to play an example of this later. But, you know, that a cappella stuff, there's a part where you hear them like practicing, and it's like they could actually really do that, you know. when you hear it seems like, I always think of it as like they were like overdubbing forever, you know, with
right.
You know, like when Queen did Bohemian Rhapsody or something, like they couldn't really actually do it, but I think they could actually sing like that.
Yeah, like, they right, that's
so, that's kind of cool.
That is cool.
So where do we go next? I'm sure you've mapped this out.
I think probably the next song that I would pick would be Cabanescence.
All right.
They did release on an album after this thing kind of fell apart. And I think some people might recognize this. I'm not sure.
Okay, here we go. But. Cabanescence.
Still remain there. You'll find a meadow filled with rain
that louder part is sort of psychedelic sounding, like you know, it almost sounds like you wonder if that was like how they would have put it on the finished version, or whether that's sort of like a experimental part.
Yeah, I don't know. It's all, yeah, it's really hard to say, because he did a lot of, you know, recording different things, little snippets, and it was all going to be part of this like grand history of the United States epic thing, with, like, you know, little pieces and little themes that would be repeated and stuff like that.
When you see how much there is
really
here,
know what it was going to sound like,
it almost seems like, you know, it just got out of control, right? He had like too many ideas. I mean, there probably are a lot of albums that you don't realize that are that way, where there's like a, they've recorded 50 songs or whatever, and they've got to pare it down and figure it all out.
Right. Right.
You could sort of see it like just getting out of control, and it's like, then they're just overwhelmed. And they just say, like, we can't do it. We can't finish it. But that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. And this was going to have little transitions and stuff. And,
yeah.
So yeah, the other guys were all out on tour when he was doing this, and he wrote a lot of, and, you know, Van Dyke Parks.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. He wrote the lyrics, and when the band came back, they read the lyrics and stuff and were just like, what the hell is this?
So he was he not in the band?
Nonsensical. He was not in the band.
Okay, so he's just like the collaborator. Because Brian Williams was the music guy, but he couldn't write words.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they were really kind of against the thing, and the more, Mike Love is kind of the other main guy in the band, but a distant second, and he was critical of everything, like all of the ideas, like what is any of this about, you know? Why would he, didn't like Pet Sounds either.
Wow.
He was singing a lot of songs before that about, you know, cars and surfing and girls and stuff.
Yeah.
Southern California. So yeah, he was just not behind it at all, and Brian just lost confidence and got depressed, and just fell apart. He was never after that. So
that makes it even more fascinating that he sort of finished it, in a sense, in 2004 or whatever.
Yeah. Right?
Or not finished, but I don't know what he did. He must have listened to the old recordings and then just redid them.
I mean, he was just kind of along for the ride. I really don't think he's mentally capable of.
So you think he had, like, studio people saying, here, Brian, we'll put together this old song you wrote. And then he kind of wasn't the main guy, really.
Definitely.
Interesting.
I would say that for sure.
Wow. Well, should we listen to any of the snippets?
Sure.
I think some of them are kind of interesting. Well, I was kind of interested in Good Vibrations, just because, you know, it's a famous song that I had heard a lot. And there are all these different pieces of Good Vibrations that are part of this session, apparently. So what happened? Did they release that as a single later or something?
Yeah, that was released as a single.
So they've at least finished that song.
Right.
But there are all these little pieces of it that they include on this thing.
Right.
Which is kind of fun. What I did is I put it on in the office one afternoon. You know, I couldn't even get through it in the whole afternoon working in my office. But then, you know, certain things kind of caught my ear. So I jotted them down. So let's play a little bit of the, this one is called Good Vibrations Gold Star.
Yeah. Take a second.
somebody could use this as karaoke, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So whoever was talking there, it sounded like he was telling the drummer that he played it wrong.
Yeah,
right?
That was, like the beat that's was always wrong. Brian.
Hey, wait a minute, you played it wrong.
Yeah, like, all the stuff you listen to and he's talking, I mean, he hired, you know, all kinds of instrument, you know, musicians, and you know, I mean, he's not like a conductor. He's not he doesn't really speak the exact same language that they do. Mm-hmm. So he's just be like, no, it should be more like, well, like, but you know, he just kind of has to describe it in his own little way. So there's a lot of that on this album. I think it's kind of interesting.
It is. So is this is, you know, not like a band member. This is a like session musician that's been hired to,
yeah,
to carry out his ideas.
For sure. Yeah. That's his brother Dennis was the drummer, but I don't think he did any playing on this. That was a lot more common back then, you know. He hired Phil Spector's band, house band, to do a lot of stuff.
Wow, that's interesting.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, probably if you bought the 5-disc set, I bet it has all kinds of notes and stuff of like,
yeah,
who
that's
people
kind of a,
are and
for
stuff.
Fans only.
Yeah,
I was
think.
Actually going to buy this great big box set with 2, you know, LPs and 5 CDs and books and whatever. You
yeah,
know, posters and stuff. But it's really expensive. And JJ, my wife, told me, "Yeah, you're going to wait until Christmas to get that."
That's probably appropriate.
That's so expensive. I still don't even know if I, you know, I guess they want it.
Yeah, the collector stuff, you know.
Whatever, $40.
Yeah.
That's silly, maybe.
Well, I don't know. Interesting call. So, just to give you a comparison, here's the next snippet of Good Vibrations, which they call Western First Chorus.
All right. Let's go one more time, please. I'd like to just hear the basses. Dano and the 2 basses out there with a little cup to keep them going, huh? Here we go. Count it out.
1, 2.
Sounds
real good.
Okay, just a cup. We'll be able to get more cup if we have 10. This time I'd like to hear the piano and the basses and the cups. Here we go.
1, 2. I think it was like one. Excuse me. Nice wave around that theremin, about just like you had it. Here we go.
Kind of takes you back to the 60s, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost totally. Like you're living in the 60s when you hear that. It's kind of, I think it's really interesting.
Yeah, just, I could listen to that just straight through, listen to that whole thing.
You know, I think the bass sound is great. You know, it just, yeah. It's funny how they get that really neat, punchy sound.
Yep.
And so a lot of these 60s recordings, you know, it's, the equipment they're using is so different than what you would use now. You know, probably big reel-to-reel tape machines, you know, and great big mixing board was probably like, you know, 5 feet wide, you know.
Right.
And
editing pieces of music with, you know, tape and razor blades and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, know? The methods had to be just really...
Yeah.
Yeah, so different, yeah.
But there's one song... Like Mrs. O'Leary's Cow. I'm not sure what they call it on this session, but he hired this big orchestra, and they had all the... He was taking a lot of drugs at this time. It had all the musicians put, like, those red plastic fire hats on, you know? And uh-huh. They were making this music that sounded real you know, like a fire. And sometime that week, there was this great big fire in somewhere outside of Los Angeles, like in the hills or whatever. And he was convinced that the music he made was so powerful that it started fires. So you can see that he was starting to kind of lose his mind a little.
It sounds like it. Okay, I found it. This is The Elements, Fire, Mrs. O'Leary's Cow. Let's see what this is. Okay, that sort of sounds like a guy on drugs.
Then a little later on, it gets into sounding more like fire. That's not, I think that's supposed to sound like a fire engine with a bunch of like clownishly dressed people running to catch up to it and the horses and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what it's, the way it sounds to me anyway.
Yeah, it does.
So it's like during the Chicago fire. Anyway, so yeah.
Okay, so I typed.
I couldn't quite pull it all together.
I typed in Mrs. O'Leary's Cow, and then I also got the Brian Wilson smile version. So let's hear what that sounds like. It's kind of similar. Here, let's go ahead
a
little
bit. Yeah, very similar.
Wow, I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, so,
I mean,
for people that only think of, you know, fun, and
yeah,
you know, surfing USA and stuff.
Yeah,
the stuff was pretty crazy at the time, and I know that, you know, the Beatles were really, really impressed, and you know, bands like, you know, the High Llamas.
I've heard of them.
They basically, you know, their whole career is just based on this and Pet Sounds. So,
yes,
it's pretty.
So a lot of it was influential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
okay,
yeah,
here's the vocal thing that I was referring to earlier, where it sounds like they're just singing this live. This is the barbershop version of Heroes and Villains.
I get lost in the notes.
No downers, okay. Come at pardon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ray. Okay, Dan, let's hit it. 1, 2, 3.
Sounds that better now?
Sound like the leaning tower. Piece
2, 3, 4.
That was constructive, Al.
Anyway, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, they're actually
great to sing like that with people.
I mean, when they're
to be a part of that,
when they're on, I mean, they're so on. Like,
yeah.
That takes some talent. That I think that's harder to do than people might think.
Right.
As a person who really is bad at singing, I can say that.
Yeah.
So there you go. The Beach Boys Smile Sessions. So if you want to listen to the whole 6 hours, you can get it on Spotify a lot cheaper than if you buy the collector set. But if you want all the artwork and there's a lot of cool stuff in that.
There are different ways you can buy it too. Like you can buy just like a double CD or whatever with, you know, selection or whatever. So I think they're, you know, you can buy just the LPs and whatever. So
different levels.
Different levels.
Yeah.
depending on your commitment.
Right, right. All right. Okay, I think that's a good good amount of music for the week. You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
So, all right. Any closing remarks, or do we sign off?
I guess we can sign off.
I think we can
People
sign
might
off.
Have heard my son in there a little bit. He came down.
Did he finish listening to the comedy album?
He must have, yeah. Yeah, so then I was looking for something to do instead of sleeping. He's supposed to be sleeping.
Yeah, it's not uncommon.
No.
So, and you said, I've got a podcast to record. This is important business, right?
Yeah, and mostly like with pantomime. Shooey, get out of here.
Yeah, get the hell out of here. Yeah.
That's right. Terrible. I'm a bad dad.
If we had a video podcast, we could have had you doing that. Like,
yeah.
All right. Well, then I think we should thank everyone for listening. And yeah. So I'll do that. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And we should tell them they can look forward to another podcast next week.
Yes.
I think they can, right?
Definitely.
Let's do a little post-production on this one, okay?
Let's do that.
Got a couple ideas. So
okay.
They may be bad ideas, but at least they're ideas. So
there's no bad ideas in post-production meetings.
No, absolutely not.
The only bad idea is the one, right?
You got cut off there. You said the only bad idea is, and then your phone kind of...
Oh, I was saying the only bad idea is the one that you don't say out loud.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll remain unpredictable, too, I think. So that'd be good, too. Because I think as we sit here, we don't know what we're talking about next week.
Nope.
So this is going to be very spontaneous and exciting. And that's how the podcasting world should be, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.